Okay.
Eight, and then Briss after.
I'm up to doing it. 10 years I've been here. The first time I've done it.
Baruch Hashem. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erechin, daf vav in Erechin, and we're on the Mishnah on Ham and Beis. What an unbelievable daf coming up today. Donations, accepting donations from non-Jews to build your synagogues. Okay? Yeah, I know. That's the normal intuitive reaction. Yeah, why? So, Ovikochavim, but the discussion starts with a Mishnah. Ovikochavim, Rabbi Meir Omer Narach, Avalo Marich, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Marich, Avalo Narach, Vzevezem, Modim Shinojim Venidarim. Okay, so can a goy be involved in the mitzvah of Erechin? So remember, basic difference between Erech and Neder. Erech is we're putting a value on a person, but it's not really a market value on the person. It is simply that the Torah ordains that every person has a erech, every person has a value, and just based on his gender and on his age, so you have to give that particular erech. What happens to that money? That money goes to the Beis HaMikdash, temple upkeep, operating of the Beis HaMikdash, right? There has to be an infusion of money just simply so that the temple can be kept to its condition. This is what's called Bedek HaBayis, and so that's what happens with the money. Good. So it's it's dues. This is, more than just dues. These are the donations. Now, in terms of a goy, so can a goy do so? It really touches on a more fundamental issue, which is, can a goy donate to the Beis HaMikdash? Now, understand, shul talk is coming up later this morning. But right now, we start with the Mishnah, and it's just a really basic question. How about can they give to the Beis HaMikdash? Well, we already know, we've seen this time and again, they can offer a carbon. A guy can offer a carbon, no problem. A guy wants to bring a ned or a nedava as a carbon, so he could do so. He's not including the mitzvah of smicha, as we discussed earlier, but he can bring a carbon. But this is not carbon talk. This is bedek habayis. Can he make an offering to the bedek habayis? So, listen carefully, because the Mishnah states it like this. Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. We'll start off, we'll go in the correct sequence of the Mishnah. We'll start with the position of Rav Meir. Nerach avalo marech. Meaning that He can't pledge money. Now, if you want to give an erech of a non-Jew, he has an erech value, meaning this is not at all a discussion of whether a non-Jew has value or if he doesn't, right? This is, does he have an erech value? So Rav Meir says he has an erech value. So let's say I go over to my non-Jewish neighbor and I say, I'd like to honor you. I'd like to give your erech to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So I could do that. In other words, I'm the one paying the money. I'm the one sponsoring. So I could give it. But, and he has it. He could be ne'erach. He could be the object of an erechim, but he can't be marech. He can't give. Okay?
He has the same value as a Jew in terms of
I would assume. Yeah. In other words, according to Rav Meir, I would absolutely assume. Gender and age are the only two factors and should be the same. Should be the same. And Rav Yehuda goes in the exact reverse. Rav Yehuda says, marech avolo ne'erach. Meaning that he can be marech. If he wants, he could say, I'd like to give the value of. Now, he can't point to another non-Jew, nor can he point to himself, because according to Rav Yehuda, he doesn't have an erech value. So what he'll do is he'll turn to his Jewish neighbor, his Jewish friend, and he'll say, I'd like to give his erech. And so he could do that, and he could be marech. He could give money to the Beis HaMikdash in this way, in this erech way, but he can't be nerach, he can't be the object of an erech, because he doesn't have an erech value. Okay. Much to discuss over here between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. The Gemara is going to do most of the discussion, so I'll let the Gemara do the work. In the meantime, however, calling to everybody, everybody agrees, nodrin vinidarin, meaning market value, right? Please, everyone's got market value, right? Jew has market value, non-Jew's got market value, everybody's got a market value, so they want to give a neder, they want to be nidar, that's for sure okay. It's funny, sounds from the Mishnah, meaning once you learn that next part, the last part of the Mishnah, Neder and Nedava, so certainly there doesn't seem to be from the Mishnah an issue of them giving money to the Beis HaMikdash, clearly. Meaning because the only thing up for discussion is Erech. Can they be Ne'erach? Can they be Ma'arech? But in terms of Neder and Nedava, the Mishnah says, for sure, they want to give money to the Beis HaMikdash, for sure. In other words, and it's going to be based on market value. Everyone's got a market value. Okay. Right, 7 days a week.
But they don't give a
What's the value of a non-Jew?
Meaning market value.
Value.
In other words, when we're talking, we're talking erech, we're talking fixed value of the Torah. We're talking about neder, we're talking about market value. So whatever his market value is, whatever our market value is. I said, we don't have a slave market anymore, so we're not sensitive to this whole market value thing. You know, what are you worth? What am I worth? I'd hate to find out. So Tana Rabbanan, B'nei Yisrael ma'arichin ve'ein ovdei kochav ma'arichin. Okay. So here we go now, Bryce, and the Bryce is going to be much more expansive on the Mishnah, meaning we're going to see some drashas. So Yachlo ye narachin tamalamra ish divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, now I might have thought that a non-Jew, being that he can't be ma'arich, so but nevertheless he could be nerach. The Torah says the word ish. Ish is a universal term. So that means, according to Rav Meir, that a non-Jew can be ne'arachi, can be the object of an erech vow. Amar Rabbi Meir, v'chi me'achash mikrach en marbev mikrach en mamayim, im ne'mani omer ne'arach v'lo ma'arich. Now look, the Torah in the parsha of Erechin gives us a miut and a ribui. It tells us on one hand a non-Jew is included, on the other hand a non-Jew is excluded. So what we're going to do is we're going to compromise. And so we're going to include him in one area of Erechin and not in another area. So why did you decide, Rav Meir is basically asking himself, why did I decide that he should be included in the Ma'arich but not the Nerach? I'm sorry, Ma'arichin. So Rav Meir's argument goes like this. More people are included in Nerach. More people. Meaning, if I ask you the question, what's a larger list? The person who can make the Erech vow or the person that can be the object of the Erech vow? Yeah. So, right. Because so Rav Meir says, I understood, but in other words, that's what he means. But what he's trying to ascertain now is why do I know I'm going to have to include him in one area, either Ma'arich or Nerach. So which one am I going to include him in? So Rav Meir says, I'm going to include him in Nerach because that's already a larger list. Why is it a large... Well, just wait. Just wait one second. Why is it a larger list? Because I'll give you a group of people that we spoke about just yesterday. A group of people who are involved in Erechim, but only on the object side, not on the Marech, not on the making the Erech side. Cherishot v'katan. Now, Cherishot v'katan is a group of people, right? All minors, deaf, mute, somebody who's clinically deranged. So they can't make an Erech vow, but they certainly can be the object of an Erech vow, because all you need to do is just simply point and say, what age are you? What gender are you? And that's it. Good. And they have an Erech value. So I already know that Nerach is more than Ma'arich, so therefore I'm going to include Cherishot v'Katan. Rabbi Yehuda is going to go the other direction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'nei Yisrael Nerachim, Eino Avdei Kochav Nerachin. Yachlo Yeh Ma'arichin, Tamal Amr, Ishama Rabbi Yehuda. V'chi Me'achash Mikra Echad Marba, Mikra Echad Memai, M'nei Ma'ani Omer, Ovi Kochav Ma'arich V'lo Nerach. So Rabbi Yehuda, same starting point as Rabbi Meir. One pasuk is memayit, another pasuk is marbe. So why do I think that we should add the guy to the list of marich, not narach? Mimnei shariba akas of memarichin, yoser b'menarachin. It's unbelievable. The exact opposite argument. More people are included in the list of marich than narach. How so? Shari tumtum v'adroganos marichin avalo narachin. Because you're tumtum and adroganos, right? You're gender-confused people. So they can be the object of an erech vow, because as we learned yesterday, you have to be definitively either male or female. They're not. But they can be ma'arich, meaning they can make an erech vow, just not about themselves. They'll choose somebody who is either definitely male or definitely female, and they'll give the erech vow of that individual. So there's more people in the ma'arich category than in the nerech category. Now, you realize, you think about this, and you realize they both can't be right. Right? Here's one of those situations where it's just strange because they're both presenting an argument, but it's the exact opposite of one another. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I think, I'll start with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I think there's more people in the Nerach category. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there are more people in the Ma'arich category. Well, it's one or the other. It can't be both. It's a strange machlokas. The Gemara in Erevin says that Machlokas and Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, we're going to side with Rav Yehuda. That's the now. Please wait, because the Gemara over here is going to discuss who we follow. But if we don't go on in the Gemara, which we will, but if we don't, so I'm telling you, the Gemara in Erevin says, I always side with Rav Yehuda over Rav Meir. Rav Meir, in terms of the Tanaim, is one of the most interesting Tanaim out there. He is a very, he's ahead of his time in terms of thinking. Meaning it's very hard, very often the Gemara says, I just don't understand Rav Meir. He's, lo yoran lasov da tosh Rav Meir. Meaning, no, in the positive way, he's just Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is very difficult to understand, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I know, I keep quoting it, but we're learning Sanhedrin in the high school. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, according to Rabbi Meir, you can disqualify your counter litigants judges, and you can disqualify your counter litigants witnesses. And you think about it, that doesn't matter. What? You can't. How are you going to disqualify his witnesses? Meaning, then how are you ever going to have a court case? And it's hard. In other words, Rabbi Meir is always difficult to understand. He's really a. I'm saying he's just. it's difficult. So, you know, in other words, we. Normative halacha normally does not follow Rav Meir. Okay? It's interesting because you're going to see. Keep that in mind over here. Stop Mishnah's Rav Meir. Right? Okay, Rav Meir is interesting.
Because Rav Meir is too smart.
Right, no, correct. Agreed. No, I'm saying he's 100. No, I 100% agree.
They don't understand what he's thinking, so they say we just can't possibly.
It's hard. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, again, going back to that Gemara, spends almost a daf of Gemara trying to understand Rav Meir. Attempting. Gemara gives 3-4 pshat in Rav Meir. Anyway, so, volonei rachin. Okay, Amar Rava. Okay, so more discussion on this. Hilchasa de Rav Meir mistabra. Tamei lo mistabra. Look, I think the halacha goes like Rav Meir, but I don't like his reasoning. Okay. Taima de Rav Yehuda Mistabra, I like Rav Yehuda's reasoning, Hilchas Olam Mistabra, but I don't like Rav Yehuda's halacha. Okay, now, de Rav Meir Mistabra Dichsiv. Now, as far as Rav Meir is concerned, here's why Rav Meir, I believe, is right from a halacha standpoint. Because what's Rav Meir saying? Okay, Rav Meir's position is that you have a guy, so he can't be ma'arich. Meaning that he wants to be the object of an erech vow, that's fine. Meaning he's not giving the money. The Jew is giving the money. Based on the age and gender of a non-Jew. But if a non-Jew wants to be ma'arich, nah. Rav Meir says no. And what the Gemara now is supporting is not his reason, but the halacha. I like the halacha. Why? Because we go to Sefer Ezra. And in Sefer Ezra, with the permission of Koresh and Daryavish, that combination of the two, so we go back to Eretz Yisrael and we build a Beis HaMikdash, the second one, right? And you go through the Sefer, and here it's a quote, quick quote from the fourth parak of Ezra. So the non-Jews who were living in Israel at the time, they offered help. They said, let's help. We'd like to help you. We'd like to help build. We'd like to help you in terms of finances. We'd like to help you. And Nehemiah says quite flatly to them, no. No, don't help us build. The pasuk says, "Lo lachem v'lanu liv knows base elokeinu." It's not for you. It's not for you and us to build the base elokeinu. Meaning, base hamikdash, building a base hamikdash, we'll do it. Thank you very much, but no, thank you for your help. Okay.
But that doesn't mean they can't build a shul for us.
Wait. You're going too fast. You're going way too fast. Right now, let's just deal with the base hamikdash. So fine. And so what the Gemara now is arguing is, again, just simple pshat in the pasuk in Ezra. It's nothing fancy. But when we build the Beis HaMikdash, or when we upkeep a Beis HaMikdash, we would prefer no money from a non-Jew. Not only not prefer, it was rejected. Nehemiah says, we don't want it. We don't want your money. Again, as with the Gemara progresses, we'll understand this a lot better. But right now, just simple rejection. Well, the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit later on, because he did help finance.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to come back to that a little bit later on. So good. That's that's why I think Rav Meir's right. Meaning not the reason of Rav Meir, but the halacha of Rav Meir is correct. Meaning, what happens if a non-Jew were to be ma'arich? It means he would be giving money to the Beis HaMikdash. Didn't Ezra and Nehemiah say no, thank you? Shouldn't our response be to them no, thank you? So this is what the Gemara is arguing in defense of Rav Meir. Now, time and dilemma stop it to come isolate Mecher Shotavikata. Now, but I'm not buying into the reasoning behind Rav Meir, because what did Rav Meir do? He said, well, there's more people in the category of Ne'erach. And he points to three people, three groups of people. Cherishot v'katan. So, Shani Cherishot v'katan, lo b'nei Dan inhu. I'll tell you why I don't understand that. They're not a category. They're not a category of people. They can't be Ma'arich simply because they don't have Das. It is a technical issue which removes them from the Parsha of Erchin. They're not fundamentally disqualified. They're disqualified for a technical reason, because they don't have Das. But I'm not going to put them in a list of, oh, look at all the people who can't be Ma'arich. They're not a group of people who can't be Ma'arich. It's a Das issue. So time of the Rav Yehuda Mistar brought to come my slam to my dragonos. So on the other hand, he asked me about Rav Yehuda. So his argument is a very sound argument, meaning tumtum vadragonos are categorically different people. They have das, and yet the Torah excludes them from being ne'erach. Okay, so they are a group of people who can't be ne'erach. So Rav Yehuda is right. The group of people who can't be Ne'erach is larger than the group of people who can't be Ma'arich. Okay, so I agree with the reasoning behind Rav Yehuda. But then what? Then we're going to take money from a non-Jew? But then we go back to the Pasuk of Ezra and Nehemiah. But then what? Then they're going to be Ma'arich and then they're going to give money? Aren't we supposed to say no thank you? Okay, so the Gemara is kind of split on the Ramei Rav Yehuda debate. Meaning, I like Rav Yehuda from an argument standpoint. I like Rav Meir from a halacha standpoint, based on the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. Rav Yehuda, hi lo lachem v'lanu my avid lay. So the Gemara says, now, Rav Yehuda, what are you going to do with that story in Ezra? Where the story in Ezra clearly says, don't take money from an non-Jew to build the Beis HaMikdash. So, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Avimi, ve'erko nignaz. Interesting. So the Gemara says, you know what Rav Yehuda would say? They want to be Ma'arich, by all means, let them be Ma'arich. They want to give money, take the money. And then do what? Put the money in Geniza.
Why would you just put it away?
Yeah, put it away, meaning lose it. Bury the money. Now it's interesting, meaning it really, we're gonna change a couple of times over the course of this morning in terms of our understanding of this whole story of Ezra. But at this stage of the game, it's really super interesting. What the Gemara now essentially is saying is that there's this mitzvah called Erchin, and a guy, if he wants to, he could be Ma'arich, and it's not necessarily about the money. Meaning, because they want to be Ma'arich, by all means, let them be Ma'arich. They want to give the Erich money, for sure, then let them give the Erich money. And then what? And then bury the money. So you'd say to me, then what was the point of all that?
No,
Geniza means forever.
Forever.
I mean, Geniza, whenever you say the word Geniza, it means done. That's it. So it's interesting that it really speaks to the idea that this whole Erchin is more than just about the money. If we're essentially saying to the non-Jew, go ahead, right? Erich, yeah. There's a value in the mitzvah of Erchin. So give the money, and we're not going
to
use it. I don't think, and you see, I don't know if it's about not hurting their feelings. Meaning, if it's about not hurting their feelings, go back to the story of Ezra and Nehemiah, where Nehemiah categorically said, no, we're not taking your money. He wasn't worried about hurting feelings. So I don't think it's that. I just think that there was a mitzvah being done, the mitzvah of Erchin, and then they did the mitzvah. Now, okay, now you put the money away. Why? Because of the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, again, it's huh?
About
a mitzvah was done with the money. I mean, no. All right. I don't know if I'm saying it.
The money gets some kedusha.
Correct. Exactly. And the money has kedusha, and so you put the money in Geniza. Okay. So anyway, let's go on because again, there's, you know, we're in the beginning of this discussion. Elameato lo yimalu bo. Now, if you're right, if all this is correct, there should not be an issur of meila. Meila is misappropriating temple funds. But here's a basic rule in the world of Me'ilah. If those temple funds are going to have to be destroyed, so then there's no longer an issur of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is only for temple funds which are usable, possible to be at one point in time exchanged or redeemed. But if money needs to be destroyed, if objects need to be destroyed, there's no longer an issur of Me'ilah. Okay, let's learn a little Me'ilah together this morning. So the sorry, hi lachalachim lamay avle. I'm sorry. Lo yimalabo de nine. Chamish chatos amesos. First, we'll start off with the five chatos that need to die, right? Vlad chatos, tmuras chatos. Okay, all the chatos that need to be put to death for reasons that we can't simply just can't use it. Umaos hahochos liyam amelach. Any money that needs to be sent to Yam amelach. Lo nenem v'lo ma'alin. So there's no iser of me'ila by those types of either money or animals, because it's going to be destroyed. Okay. Alama tanya gabi kache of de kochavim. Now, we have a brisa regarding kache of de kochavim, and the brisa reads like this. Ba'medra ma'mor mekache mizbech, ava bekache bedek abayis, mo'alim behen. If a guy gives money to bedek abayis, there is an iser of me'ila. Now, the Gemara is basically just finished asking a question. If you're right, anytime a guy gives money to the Beis HaMikdash, it's supposed to go into Geniza, so categorically that means that there should be no Me'ila on that money, much like the Chatas HaMesos, much like money that's sent to Yam HaMelech, that is destined to go to Yam HaMelech. Money to be destroyed, there's no Isser of Me'ila. So why does the Braisa say that if a guy gives money to Bedek HaBayis, there's an Isser of Me'ila by that money? Okay. Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says, okay, we're going to have to go through a new way of thinking. Okay. So although it was an attempt, the Gemara, anytime you see the word Ela, basically it's the Gemara now saying, okay, new line of thought. Everything we set up in Tanana was a good suggestion, but doesn't seem to work out. We're going to try it this way. Again, what's the basic problem? Basic problem is, Rav Yehuda says, Goy could be Marech, which means that the guy is going to give money to the Beis HaMikdash. And the basic problem is, what about the story of Ezra Nehemiah, where we said, lo lachem v'lanu, live nos Beis Elokeinu. We're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash together. It'll just come from our money, not from your money. So what do you do with that story? So, Ela Amarava Mishum Rifyon Yadayim, Hu Dichsi Vayi Amaretz Marpin Yidei Am Yehuda Umevahalin Osam Livnos. The reason why Nehemiah said no to the locals about building the Beis HaMikdash is because he knew that they were not altruistic in their donation to build the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at that bottom Rashi on the Amud. Mishum shelo hayu miskavnin letova. Their kavana was not for good. Ela sheyismuchu gam aleihem. What they wanted is that they would have to rely on the locals, on the local non-Jewish community. And now, you know, and I don't mean this cynically, although it will come out cynically. You know, when you have a serious donor to any organization, you know, the donor is going to want to put input, right? And, you know, well, you know, I know I'm just a donor, but may I make a suggestion? And it's just the way of the world, meaning, you know, money talks. And so when you're a donor, so you're going to put in input. And Rashi over here describes that's exactly what they wanted. Once they were donating, so then we're going to have a say in the matter. V'heim ya'achru ha'binyan, ashi yasibu slave koresh, shelo livnoso. And essentially it was a delay tactic, and so that they can now petition Koresh, and they could say to Koresh, look, Jews, Beis HaMikdash, not a great idea. Meaning, I don't know what you were thinking, but, and eventually they would impress upon Koresh, and they would get the whole building to stop. So in other words, the Ezra Nehemiah story has nothing to do with accepting money from a non-Jew, meaning for sure you can. At that point in time, we're worried about Rifyon Yadayim. And that's why he said no. But in general, it's okay. And so really now, in other words, so...
Righteous Gentile is not exclusive.
In other words, right, without... You know, I don't know if you have to be that discerning, but the basic idea is that story is a special story. Okay. Top of Avamadav, the Gemara continues, Tanachado, Vikocham, Shinis, Nandev, the Devil, Abedek, Abayis, Mekablam, Amenem. One brisa says that if he gives to Bedek Abayis, he can accept money from him. V'tanya Yidach, and another brisa says, Ein Mekablin, that you do not accept from him. Am Rav Eli, Am Rav Yochan, Lokasha, HaBetchila, HaBesof. So the Gemara makes a distinction. Tchila versus Sof. Now, Rashi over here offers two pshatim, although Rashi favors his first pshat, so I'm going to just go right now with Rashi's first pshat. Take a look at the top Rashi on the page. B'tchila, Rashi, B'tchila, Sabinyan, Ein Mekablin, Deshem, Lerifyan, Yadayim, Mekablin. When you're building the building for the first time, literally, building the building. So there, you should not take money from a non-Jew to build the building. Rifyon Yadayim. Then you have to go back to the story of Ezra Nehemiah. And then you have to worry about exactly what they had to worry about. But, Bisof, the building is built. And now, operating. And included in operating is going to be upkeep. right? That's everything is there, and you know they didn't take a mortgage out to build the base of Mikdash. At least I don't think so. So, the next Rashi, lechazek is bedek de ein lo marifnyon yadayim mekablin, meaning because if the building's there already, there's no delay tactic. It's there already. So now they want to give money for temple upkeep. Fine, that's fine. Rashi gives another pshat, but I told you. But Rashi prefers this first pshat. Amar Rabbi Lai, Rav Yochanan lo kasha ha betchila ha besof. The Amar back to the Gemara. The Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan betchila afilo maim umelchem mekabel mehem. Look, betchila when you're building the base of Mikdash, so you take nothing from them, even water and salt. Water and salt. I don't know for the building, for the people who are building. Let's say for the building, whatever. Take nothing from them. However, besof davar mesuyin emekam davar sheinu mesuyin mekavlim. So if it is davar hamesuyim, if they want to give a specific item to the base of Mikdash, that they can't do. But if they want to just give money or raw material, that they're allowed to do. What does that mean? Specific item. Hechidami davar hamesuyim. Amar Rav Yosef Kigon ama kalya orev. So the scarecrow. The scarecrow of the Beis HaMikdash. Don't have that being donated by a non-Jew. Okay, two things over here that we need to discuss. Number one is, what's a scarecrow? What are we talking about? And two, why not? Meaning, if we can accept money from a non-Jew for temple upkeep, so why not let them donate the scarecrow? So first and foremost, what's the scarecrow? So Rashi over here, Tosfos also talks about it as well. Rashi over here says like this: they had a bird problem in the Beis HaMikdash, okay, and they did not want the bird. So what they did is they built spikes on the top of the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, so there would be no place for the birds to sit and rest and nest on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says they were just simply spikes. Take a look at Rashi. Amakaya Orev. Lahachi Nakat Ama de Amrina Beperk Baso de Menachos. Hare Alai Barzo lo Yifchos me Amal Ama Lakaya Orev Shayumavian. Tavlao Shal Barzo Amal Ama. Uvahen Mismaros. Nails, says Rashi. Gvoin Ama. One Ama tall nails. That's like a 24-inch nail. Placed on the top of the base of Mikdash. Kavun Umechap and Behem Roshagak Shalhechal. Legarish es ha'orvim shelo yishkenu sham. So we don't want nesting going on up there, and so therefore they had to build these. I called it a scarecrow, but from Rashi, it's not really a scarecrow, just spikes.
Yerushalayim on top of, you know, we see around the roof there is like the spikes.
Right. Correct. Could be. Very could be. Very well could be. There is. We're going to see this again when we get to Midos. You're going to see some people actually understand, I forget who, but some people actually understand that they actually built some sort of scarecrow on the top of the base of Mikdash. Anyway, why not, right? What's the issue? So take a look at the Rashi before that. Rashi says, why can't you accept something specific from a non-Jew to build the base of Mikdash? Shenira be'ein, ein mekablan lehem dignaihu v'od shemisparim bo. So Rashi over here offers two explanations. A short Rashi, but it's only very important. Rashi says it genaihu, meaning it's a little bit embarrassing. Meaning we built the base on Mikdash, and here we go. The Goyim now can. Well, that's Rashi, second shot. But in other words, from our perspective, it's a little bit embarrassing that, you know, that specific item had to come from a non-Jew and not from a Jew. So number one is the genai. Number two, says Rashi, misparim bo, meaning then the guy, they're going to puff their chest out a little bit, and they're going to say, hey, look what I did. Pointing to that specific item, meaning if it's raw material, so raw material, they can't point to it and say, you know, hey, that's me, right? So, okay, so those are the two issues in terms of why davar hamesuyim cannot be accepted. Okay, it's a little bit interesting, meaning you gotta somehow work out the Gemara, because according to Rashi, tchila means that when you build the Beis HaMikdash, you can't accept anything from a non-Jew, meaning neither. Even sounds like even raw material. So then, the only time that you can accept money is for bedek habayis. And I guess what you'll have to say, it's not that crazy, I guess what you have to say is that we need new, in other words, you know, our upgrade. Upgraded kalya orev. Our old kalya orev is a little shvach, and we need new ones. Okay. Meisav Rabbi Yosef. So now, Hedy, the Gemara is going to deal with your issue. Okay, Sefer Nechemiah. Okay. Rashi, by the way, didn't break up the two Sfarim. Rashi always had it as one big Sefer, but we have Ezra and Nechemiah. The Igeres al Asaf Shomer HaPardes Asher LaMelech. So the Gemara quotes over here, and basically Rashi gives us a little bit of background. They were building the Beis HaMikdash, and they needed some wood, and they went to Koresh, and Koresh provided the wood for the Beis HaMikdash. And essentially now the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. What? Didn't you just tell me that when you're building the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to accept anything, neither finished product nor raw material? You're not allowed to accept. So what's going on over here? So Amalei Abaye Shani Machusa Delo Hadra Bey. Da'amar Shmuley Amar Machusa Akrana Ture Akratura Velo Hadra Bey. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara doesn't say specifically by Koresh, but when you have a Malchus, when you have a kingdom and a king, and they say something, they will not retract from what they're saying. They will not flip-flop. It sounds like from the Gemara, the whole issue about accepting funds and donations from a non-Jew is just a concern about flip-flopping. Why? As we discussed already earlier this morning, Rifyon Yadayim. Because it's a stall tactic, it's a delay tactic. Meaning, I know I pledged, you know, 10,000, just give me a week, give me a month. Meaning, the whole purpose was a stall tactic. If it was promised by somebody who you know is going to deliver the moment they say they're going to pay, so then you don't have to worry about Rifyon Yadayim. When it came to Koresh, Koresh says, I'm going to give you wood. Well, don't worry, he's going to give the wood, and he'll give it right away. But the Gemara gives an example. Let's say the Malchus says, we're going to rip up that mountain. That mountain's going to get ripped up. Meaning you know that their word is good. And so therefore, there's no concern for Rifyon Yadayim. I'm Rav Yudah Merav Ovei Kocham Shehifish Truma Mikiryo Bot Yenoso. Okay, interesting. The Gemara says, what if a guy gives truma? Okay. In other words, he has a pile of grain, and the guy gives truma. Now, Rashi over here does not discuss, meaning we're talking about a guy, presumably, we're talking about a guy who's living in Eretz Yisrael. And so, in theory, his payers could be subject to the halachas of trumas and maestros. I'm not sure if what I'm saying is correct. Rashi does not comment, but it makes sense that that would be the scenario. So, mikriyo botkinoso. Now, here, basically, here's what we do. We ask him the following question. Ibadas Yisrael Hifrisha Satinas and Lekoin. Why are you giving truma? I mean, what are you doing? I understand you're giving me grapes. I understand you're giving me olives. But why are you doing that? So if his response is, what do you mean? Truma. Meaning, I know what I'm doing. I'm giving truma. My neighbor, my Jewish neighbor, when he brings in all of his olives, so he gives a percentage to the Kohen. Same here. I'm doing the same thing here. So then, well, how do we treat it? Like truma. Meaning, we'll give it to the Kohen, and presumably, it's going to have all the rules and regulations and restrictions and privileges as regular truma. The imlav tu'una gniza. However, if he's giving truma, but not because it's truma, simply because he wants to make a donation, so then you have to put into gniza. Now, why? So Rashi says, because this statement of Rav is talking about Bizman Azet. It's talking about nowadays. Remember the Gemara we learned in Bukhara? So it wasn't that long ago. The Gemara in Bukhara says that if anyone wants to make a donation nowadays to the Beis HaMikdash, so you got to destroy it. Meaning I point to an animal and I say, this animal's a carbon. You got to destroy that animal. Right? Because obviously you are makdish that animal. The animal now is Kedusha. There's no Beis HaMikdash. And the only thing that can happen right now, well, one thing that can happen is that Mashiach will come. Okay, and that would solve the problem. But without the arrival of Mashiach, the problem is going to be very simple. Well, you have an animal that's hektesh, it's a carbon, and now you can't work it, you can't shear it, you can't milk it, and you're going to keep it around, and somebody's going to be mauled by hektesh. So you therefore must destroy it. This non-Jew who gives truma, not as truma, but simply as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning he's makdish it. And he says, I want this to go to the Beis HaMikdash, so you got to destroy it. Like,
but how can an Anjou makdish
something? He can. What do you mean?
He
can bring a carbon. He can invest in a carbon with Kedusha.
But that carbon that brings is like a special category. It's not a...
It's makdish.
He's makdish. I do understand, but makdish just simply means I'm giving it to the property of the Beis HaMikdash. He's not. In other words, I know. You and I think in terms.
You require to have a certain level of kedusha yourself to be mekdesh something.
I understand. But
For a non-Jew to be mekdesh something.
The Gemara assumes that this non-issue. He could absolutely be mekdesh.
But what type of korban can they bring? They cannot.
They can't bring a chatas.
They
bring.
Cannot be shlamim that they can eat.
Yeah, shlamim also. I don't think so.
They cannot eat it.
I don't think so. What are they? Yeah, they're going to eat. They're going to eat it. Agreed. Maybe just an ola. So the imlav teuna geniza. I'm sorry. So ibadasi saw a fish tenas on lakon v'imlav teuna geniza chayshin shema b'li bala shamayim, because we're concerned that when he gave truma, not agricultural truma, not truma in the classic sense truma, but truma meaning a gift to the Beis Hamikdash. And nowadays we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so now it needs to be destroyed, as per the Gemara in Bechoras. Meisvei. The Gemara challenges over Kochav Mishin Isnad Dev Korea Vishem Kasav Alaha. Interesting scenario. A guy gives a beam of wood. And God's name written on the beam. Okay, now that's of course weird. Why did he do that? I guess, he didn't know any better. So, he wrote God's name out on the beam. Vishem Kasav Alaha. So both can also Imam Rabbi Dasi Sorry for Shu, so Yagud Vishamish Mimosar. So you ask him, what did you just do? And his answer is, what do you mean? I see all my Jewish friends donating to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm doing the same. Good. So what you do is you cut out the name of Hashem from that beam, and you use the rest of the beam. The name, you bury it. Geniza. So Bedasi Yisrael Fisher Yagud, so you cut it out. V'yishtamash b'mosa. V'yimlav tuna geniza. However, if not, so then you put into geniza. Because perhaps he was makdish that wood. But if he wasn't makdish the wood, in other words, look, we're building a shul. Everyone else is donating wood. You know what? I'll donate wood also. And just because you're building a shul. Oh, I'll write God's name on the wood. Okay. Yeah, you're right. So the Gemara says is that if he's just donating like everyone else is donating, great. Just cut out God's name. And if he's not, but if he's makdish that piece of wood, so then you got to destroy that piece of wood. Chayshin Hashem b'li bala shamayim. So now, the Gemara notices, Taima d'shem kasav alaha d'bay geniza. Ha'ein shem kasav alaha lo bay geniza. So the Gemara says, but if he didn't write shame on it, if he didn't write the shem Hashem, so he could use it. So who had the da'akav d'ein shem kasav alaha nami bay geniza? V'akam ashman da'akav d'shem kasav alaha yagur v'yishamish mamotza d'shem shalom b'mkomo lav kadosh. So the Gemara says, well, if you cut the shame out, so it's not kadosh. Did not we learned in the Mishnah? He cuts the yados akelim valkiri amita harizah yagur v'ignos. You shame Hashem is written on a handle of a jar. Shame Hashem is written on one of the posts of a bed. So what do? You cut out that area, and the rest of it you could use. Okay, interesting. By the way, it says that you cut out that area. How much do you cut out? Meaning, if you can imagine a 2x4. And you write shame Hashem on a piece of the 2x4. In other words, can you just shave off that little piece? Or do you have to actually cut out that entire piece? Take a look at Tosfos. Yagur v'yishtamish b'mosar, mashma al yudei sheyichto chakora, v'lo yene me'oso chaticha shekeneged Hashem, dimkomo mi'a kidesh Hashem. Okay? Tosfos is of the opinion, you gotta go all the way through. Meaning on the beam where it's written Shem Hashem, you can't just simply take a little shaving off of it. But in other words, the kedusha of Shem Hashem goes all the way through the beam. Tosfos says v'yeshli zayir. Based on this, I'm telling you, says Tosfos, k'shekosven sefer Torah otfilin v'garo makom Hashem she'ein lichtov b'mkoma. Right, you wrote Shem Hashem on a sefer Torah, and for whatever reason, you needed to scrape it off. Okay, that area of the Sefer Torah had Shem Hashem written on it. You can't overwrite on that area, says Tosfos, because that entire area now, even though you shaved off Shem Hashem, you scraped it off, but that entire area is kedusha.
Is that how we hold today?
I'm not 100. I would assume so.
You leave a space.
Huh? I guess you'd leave like an awkward space.
And the shaving you'd bury.
Okay, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Homer Sela Zelitz Daka. Okay, I'm sorry, period. And period, and that's it. Meaning that really is the end of the discussion. To which now, the Gemara basically, where do we end on this issue of a non-Jew donating? So from the Mishnah, Machlokchin, Rav Meir, and the Chacham, and Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of whether they could be ma'arich, they can give money to Bedek HaBayis, temple upkeep. The Gemara likes Rav Meir in terms of halacha, even though it doesn't. Gemara feels that the Svar really is more like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara likes Rav Meir in terms of halacha. And then the Gemara says that and the Gemara quoted the story of Ezra and Nehemiah, where they said to the local non-Jewish community, you're not helping us build, period. To which the Gemara says, maybe Rav Yehuda's right, and we could still read the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. Because the difference is Tchila versus Sof. When you're first building the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to do it on your own. Why? Because Rifnei and Yadayim were worried that the non-Jew is just adding and donating so that he can have a say in the matter and stall and delay and just, in other words, just basically looked for us to stop building. However, once it's up and they want to donate to temple upkeep, so the Gemara says that's fine. Even then, the Gemara says, Davar HaMesuyam, a specific item they should not give. Rashi gives two explanations. Number one, because it's the Gnai. Number two, they're mispire. Right? They're gonna gloat over that. And finally, what about the fact that Koresh did donate raw material to the building of the Beis HaMikdash? That's different, says the Gemara, because he's not going to renege on his word. Meaning, once he said he's going to donate, he will absolutely donate. Okay.
So the third temple, we're only going to be able to build it
ourselves. I mean, Rashi, a couple places in Shas, says that we're not going to have to build it.
It's coming down.
That's what Rashi says. Rashi and Rosh Hashanah like that. Let's continue in the Gemara. Amar Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Omer Selazul Tzedakah. Okay. We got into a discussion about making pledges, so the Gemara is going to take an interesting turn over here, and that is tzedakah money. Okay? I'll introduce the Gemara over here. We only have a couple minutes left this morning, but let's a quick introduction. Let's say you're collecting, okay, for a specific cause, and now you have a fund. Okay? Can you borrow against that money?
You have to give that money, or
do you have to give that money? Or in other words, now you just look at what that amount is, right? And can you, for the time being, you know, go out for dinner with that money? I understand. It won't look good. But, you know, in other words, go out for dinner with that money and then pay back.
But if it's collateral, it's a risk, so I would say you shouldn't.
I understand. You don't, right.
You shouldn't do it because it would be
a risk. You have to be, especially if you have fiduciary responsibility, you have to be prudent. I understand, but... That's not the question. The question is, can you?
Is it this money, or is it just the idea
of
the money?
Amar Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Ha'omer Sela Zulat Staka, Mutalish Nosa. Now, the Gemara says, Mutalish Nosa, Rashi says, you could use it for your own purposes. Right? You
got to say
Sela Zul. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to the distinction between Zul and Alai. And you have your rent to pay? Okay, so I'll take from the Pushka, and I'll pay back. Fine. Now the Gemara thought that there's a difference between your money versus somebody else's money. Meaning if it's my money and I put aside my money, so then we can play around with it a little bit because, you know, in other words, even when I originally designated that money to Fritz Stucker, but like I almost made like an implicit tanai. Like, but in other words, I'll be on the hook for that money. But if I need that particular coin, I'll use it right now and I'll pay it back. But if it's somebody else's money, no, that I can't touch. The Gemara says, I thought there was a difference, but itmar meravami amar Rabbi Yochanan bein latzma bein lacher. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't make a difference. Bein latzma bein lacher. Your money, somebody else's money. Money is, what's the correct word?
Fungible.
Money is fungible. Amar Rabbi Zira lo shanu elo da amar alai. Ava amar harezu be'ina by lemisva. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Zeira. I think there's a difference, he says, between Alai versus Zu. Where if I say Alai, that's personal liability, which means that really the obligation's on me, not on the money. And so therefore, you want to play around with the money a little bit, play around, I mean, use the money right now for me, and then obviously reimburse at a later point in time, that's fine. But if I say the word Zu and I point to this money, the money kind of is like hektish. Although that's a funny statement. The money's not really hektish. This is stucca money now. We're not talking about carbon. We're not talking about bedek habayis. We're just talking about stucco money. But still, it's kind of like hekdesh money, which means that the money itself is earmarked towards tzedakah. Rava says, really? Interesting. I agree there's a difference, but I think it's just the opposite. When you say Amrzu, so in other words, fine. So I'll just use the money, and like a custodian, I'll just simply be on the hook for whatever money I take. Of Amr Alai, lo, but if I say Amr Alai, which means that's my personal liability, and that money represents my obligation to bring, so maybe that money can't be touched because it's my obligation, and that money represents my obligation. So if anything, I'd make a different distinction the other way, and the Gemara concludes, Ela lo shna. You know what? It really doesn't make a difference. Meaning, if I say zu versus I say Alai, I could still take the money for my own personal needs if I need it.
Yeah, but it's not, why isn't it like a carbon when it says zoo?
Because
it's lost and stolen, you don't have to replace it.
But
you don't have to replace it.
I mean, but right? We're not talking about, no, but I understand that, but we're talking about now about stalker. It's not hektesh.
When it says you're a seller,
right.
Okay, and it's stolen, so it's not yours anymore.
No, but the...
Just like the carbon.
No, because it's, in other words, you're a custodian now. In other words, it's not... In other words, if I say zoo by a carbon,
right?
It's not. In other words, the animal now belongs to the Beis Hamikdash.
Right. So when you say this, that's what I want today. Uh-huh. When you say this seller, it belongs to you.
Right. It's not the same because it's money. It's stuck in money. Tanya Kavase de Rava. Okay. And now, after trying to make distinctions, the truth of the matter is there really is no difference. Meaning, when I set aside money for tzedakah, so if I want, I could use the money and then pay back. Tani Kavase de Rav, the Gemara says, we have a price that supports Rav. Neder, staka, vein hektesh staka. An extraordinarily vague brisa. Neder is staka, hektesh is not staka. You think about that brisa, you realize, wow, that brisa does not make any sense. My kamar, lo neder below hektesh staka. You're confusing everything. Neder is not staka, hektesh is not staka. Like, what are you talking about? Ela lav hachi kamar. So the Gemara says we're going to take this vague brisa and interpret the brisa and essentially arrive at what we already know. But it's a support. Number one, tzedaka. I pledge tzedaka. I'm now on the clock. We know that if you pledge a carbon, you're on the clock. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, one of the first circuits in Rosh Hashanah, talks about the isra of Baal Te'acher. You can't delay. Three regalim. When did we start counting the three regalim? See the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right? It's a bit of a discussion. It's involved, but three regalim baal te'acher. You're right. You're on the clock. And if you don't bring your carbon by the third regal, you're now in violation of this law in the Torah. Same thing by tzedakah, meaning even though it's not carbon, even though it has nothing to do with yontiv, but you're on that same clock of baal te'acher. Ve'ena kehekdesh. However, when I set aside tzedakah, so on one hand it's hektesh like in the deadline. You got to give it by the third regal. On the other hand, it's not like hektesh in the sense that you can be mishamish. In other words, hektesh, you can't touch that. That's me'ila. By tzedakah, go ahead. Help yourself. When I say help yourself, I mean and then pay back and reimburse. So I went to Rav Zvid, and he said to me, you know what? We learned all this, but not differently, just without all the complication. Meaning, look what you had to do to get to that point. You quoted Rav Nachman, and then you quoted Rabbi Ami, and then you quoted Rabbi Zeira. And in other words, you got involved in all these, you know, side discussions. We have the tradition. Rav Nachman said everything. This is how we learn it. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abaravua, Amar Rav Haomer Selazul Atzdaka Motul Shnosa Bein Laatzma Bein Lacher Bein Amar Alai Bein Amar Harezu. Period. Meaning.
Just over money. Rav Nachman had another saying that said that you cannot lend it somebody. He was changing his line.
No, what? What? No, earlier.
Right.
Selazulatzakamutalishnosa, and then the Gemara had all these side discussions. Well, does it make a difference if it's your money or somebody else's money? Maybe it makes a difference if I said zu versus alai. And then the Gemara finally landed on the spot. Well, none of it really makes a difference. Here, this version is just streamlined, meaning Rav Nachman said it all.
But here it says that over there it said that you could not lend the money to somebody. Here it says you can lend it to someone also.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll discuss after.
Once it goes right into the Beit HaMikdash, then it's done.
But this is Staka now. We left the world of Hektish, we're now in the world of Staka. Tanu Rabbanan, Selazul of Staka, Ashala Batli Ad Gabai, Mutalishnosa. Mishabatli Ad Gabai, Asalishnosa. Now, once it gets to the Gabai's hands, that's it. Ini, Vaha Rabbi Yanai. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second. Rabbi Yanai, Yazifu Para. He borrowed against Staka, and Rabbi Yanai was a Gabai. And he borrowed against Staka, a violation of what we just learned. So the Gemara says, Shani Rabbi Yanai denicha leila aniyim. He got full license to do so. Now, I don't know how this licensing process worked. I'd be interested to understand this a little bit better. But he was a Gabai, and he had full licensing. Now, the aniyim loved when he borrowed against the tzedaka. Why? Because it generated more tzedaka. Because the Gemara goes on to explain, denicha leila dekam demashe. Ma'ashe umayse lehu. Because once he borrowed against Daka, it created such an anxiety in Rabbi Yanai that he then worked harder to collect more Daka for the Aniyim, knowing that he borrowed against it. So he got a full haskama from the poor people. Now, Gemara is usually much more technical than this, meaning that there's somehow, I don't know how he got, what he got approval, he got a full haskama, meaning, I'm not really sure. Okay, let me just finish up. Tanu Rabbanan. Yisrael sheinstad de menorah ner lebeit haknesses asal lishnosa. Okay? I know it's such halacha l'maisa. You donate a menorah to the shul, right? Or a candle, right? The ner tamid. So you give the ner tamid to the shul. Asal lishnosa, so you can't exchange it for anything else. Sabra b'chibar ab l'mema l'oshna l'dvar rishutz v'loshna l'dvar mitzvah. What does it make a difference whether it's for something mundane versus another mitzvah? Meaning, what if I want to exchange it for another need of the synagogue? No, if it's for a mitzvah, you can exchange it for another mitzvah. Look, if a non-Jew donates a menorah to the shul, so there, you got to wait until people forget who donated it. I know it sounds funny.
Maybe we would still take something that's symbolic from the non-Jew.
Yeah, in other words, you take a menorah for your synagogue. And you just have to wait. Now, why? So Rashi explains, as the Gemara itself is pretty much going to say in just a second, because if he donates a menorah, and then all of a sudden, whoop, there goes the menorah, and we need a new shulchan. We need a new bima for the Beis HaMikdash. For our shul. And so he's going to start screaming. What? In other words, the Jew who donates understands. Oh, the shul needed a bima. I know. I understand. But let's just assume. Let's assume. The Jew will understand. The Jew's going to yell out, but the Jew is not. In other words, he understands. I don't need a menorah. The shul now needs a bima. Okay. We finish up to the Mishnah. Shizrak, who was an Arab merchant, in Dev Shragla Bekanishta, the Rav Yehuda. So he gave the Ner Tamid to Rav Yehuda Shul. Shnia Rachva the Ikpid. So Rachva switched it for something else, and he got angry. Rava got angry. Right? In other words, don't do that. Igadar Mishneh Rava, the Ikbid Rachva. Now some have different versions of what happened. Rava was the one who changed it. Rachva was the one who got angry. The Igadar Mishneh Chazne de Pumbedisa, the Ikbid Rachva. The Ikbid Rava, Man de Shneh Savar de Loshchiach. O Man de Ikbid Savar Zimna de Mikre Ve'ase. Now, right, it's like such a standard, argument that you can just imagine. Meaning the one who switched it said, look, he's never coming to shul. He's like, don't worry. And the one and the one who got angry said, no, what do you mean? Look, I agree with you. He's not a frequent visitor to the synagogue, but he may come and then he's going to get angry. And he's like, where's my menorah? And, okay. I was wondering the same thing as well. Okay, stop over here. Rabbi Chanani Ben Akash, Rabbi Zakeh Shabbat, Zakeh Zalafir, Chachir, Ben Tormit, Shanema, Nechafetz, Matzik, Yagdut, Rabbi